Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, it's a Friday. You know, we covered some serious topics in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll cover some more serious topics here in the 7 o'clock hour of the show as well. But it is Freedom Friday. You got to have a little fun on a Friday as well. And you guys know how easily distracted I am anyway. Becky Hilliard, great to have you on the show with us here on this Freedom Friday. Always great to look at the bright side of things. All right, Becky, I got to have a little fun with you here this morning. So, you called me to be on the show. I missed your call, so I called you back to get you on the show. And it goes to voicemail, and I started busting up laughing. I get Becky Hilliard's voicemail, and I get something like, oh, dang it, I'm sorry I missed your phone call, but please leave a message. And I'm just like, oh, man, you know somebody is Miles City, Montana nice when their voicemail is, oh, golly jeepers, dang nabbit, I missed your phone call. I'm so sorry. Anyway, I got a kick out of that. That was the bright side of the morning already. There you go.
Well, my work here is done, Aaron. Thank you. I'll have to add golly gee dang it jeepers to my voicemail.
A few other things. Just go watch Opie from the Andy Griffith Show or something, right? I got the reference right there. And, you know, come up with a few old school terms that you can throw in an O for Pete's sake. Or, you know, there's a few other terms we all heard growing up we can use.
Oh, and I loved Andy Griffith growing up. Are you kidding me? Those reruns were awesome.
Yeah. Loved it. I was also laughing because at that, because it reminded me, you know, we were out on the lake and I had a couple friends of mine, and my friend Marcus, you know, he's a brother, and of course I'm your stereotypical looking white dude, right? And so, but anyway, so Fish and Game came and did their boat check, and so they're like, well, do you have your life jackets, do you have this and do you have that? And so I'm looking for like the fire extinguisher. I know I have one somewhere on the boat, and it wasn't in the spot where I, so anyway, my friend Marcus was just making fun of me because he's like, oh golly jeepers, I know it's in here somewhere. He was just making fun of me while I'm, you know, looking under every compartment of the pontoon boat to find the fire extinguisher for the Fish and Game authorities. Oh, yeah, we found it. We were good to go. We were good to go. But my friend Marcus had some fun at my expense in the meantime. Because, you know, I try not to cuss, right? And especially being on the radio, you really try not to cuss. And so yeah, all of my ways at trying not to cuss in front of my friends on the boat and in front of Fish and Game made me sound like a very nerdy white dude on the water that day.
Stereotypical, right?
That's right. That's right, yeah.
Well, that's where you and I, we have something in common, so that's okay.
Well, dang it, I guess we do, like Becky's voicemail might say. Hey, quick teaser, 30 seconds before we get to the next news break here, what's your bright side story of the week for us here?
Yeah, well, you know, I thought in honor of Labor Day coming up, we'd just revisit this really beautiful story that happened a couple of months ago. For a waitress who, 81 years old, had some mobility issues, hard time getting around, and just the right person at just the right time overheard her talking about her plight, and she wasn't able to retire. And this person sprung into action and made it so this wonderful little waitress, 81 years old, could finally retire.
Wow, 81-year-old waitress. I would say I'm surprised. But then again, man, some of the coolest waitresses you see out there across Montana and some of these small-town cafes are definitely up there in years. All right, well, we look forward to that bright side story and much more coming up right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With considerable cloudiness and some partial sun around the area today, we'll also see some scattered showers and a few storms around the region. High temperature readings ranging from the mid to upper 70s. For tonight, still a few showers and thunder showers possible. Lows near 50 in Bozeman to about 60 in Billings. Isolated shower storm chance Saturday with high temperatures staying near 80. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is House Call for Health. It's no surprise that in order to get to the weekend, most people who work at a typical job have to make it through Friday. But showing up to the office is only half the battle. Research highlighting how employee productivity takes a massive hit on the last working day of the week. Researchers at Texas A&M University School of Public Health analyzing the computer usage metrics of roughly 800 office workers over the course of 2 years, examining things like typing speed, mouse activity, and more, and even looking at remote versus in-office office work, productivity was all about the same, lower, on Fridays. Public health experts say their findings could fuel greater discussions about how a four-day work week may fight declines in employee output, also improve mental and physical health, and possibly improve worker well-being and job satisfaction, as well as reducing costs for some companies. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Yet another transgender shooter targets a Christian school, killing innocent school children. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. We're going to talk school safety and school security, take your phone calls and more. One of the guests that's going to join us on Friday's Montana Talks, Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter, who has probably the most, one of the most comprehensive school safety plans in the country. He'll be with us Friday's Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10, taking your calls and more right here, 9 to 10 a.m.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
You know, I forget where I saw this yesterday. I think it was on X or something like that. And I saw this, it was a, you know, Republican conservative commentator. Who knows, maybe it was somebody with Team Trump. But they were making the point that, you know, no tax on tips. And, you know, now there is no tax on tips. So if you're a waiter or waitress, et cetera, no tax on tips. And Becky, I'm just thinking about this 81-year-old waitress that you're going to tell us about here in a second. And, yeah, she goes her whole life working her butt off for, you know, 60-plus years, probably close to 65 years since a lot of us started working as kids, right? And taxes on tips that whole time. And, oh, now they changed the tax on tips. You know, she's 81 years old. It's like when I was a kid. It's like when I was a kid. Whenever I'd leave the elementary school and go to junior high, they'd get new playground equipment at the elementary school. It's like, out. Same. So here's this hardworking 81-year-old lady. Anyway, yeah, tell us about this week's bright side story.
Yeah, well, I love this story, Aaron, because we talked about it. You and I have talked about it before, that we don't always have the means financially to help someone ourselves. But we have a way of helping, whether it's a talent or skill or our network connections to help other people. And this is a great story of that. So a couple of months ago, this TikToker named Tammy went into a local eatery with her young son in Pittsburgh. And they were having lunch, and she noticed that their waitress, Betty, was really having a hard time walking around. She was in pain, and she wasn't moving very fast. And Tammy overheard Betty telling a coworker that, you know, I've waitressed my whole life. I'm 81 years old. And I can't afford to retire because my $900 in Social Security every month won't cover my bills. And so Tammy was just struck by that. And she started recording the interaction she was having with Betty at the table in the restaurant. And Betty had a great sense of humor and, you know, was joking around. Betty had chronic back issues, and that was the cause of her limp and having a hard time with her mobility. So Tammy told her TikTok followers, she said, listen, if I post one video that goes viral, please let it be this one. So she explained and prefaced Betty's story that way and said she was going to set up a GoFundMe because she said, we need Betty to retire. She should be able to retire. She's worked hard her whole life. So within a day, she raised over $140,000 for Betty. And she went back and she told Betty about this money that she had raised. Betty was blown away. You know, just imagine this beautiful gift falling from the sky into your lap. Totally unexpected. And then over the next few days, more and more money was added to the GoFundMe. Tammy ended up, through the TikTok Creator Rewards Program, taking all of the money she made from that post, adding it to the GoFundMe, and adding it to the Venmo donations that people were sending her. She had to get an attorney to set up a trust for Betty because she was getting so much money in donations. And when all was said and done, she ended up raising $328,000 for Betty and presented that to her so that she could retire if she wished to. And Betty was very humble, didn't want to be on TikTok, but told Tammy what a difference that was going to make in her life and her family's life. But they were struggling financially. They had some issues they were facing, and that money there was such a blessing, and that was going to help them get through it. And I thought, you know, how many times have we all overheard a conversation or an interaction where someone is relaying some hardship they've had, and we listen to it and think, oh my gosh, you know, that's so sad for them. I say a little prayer for them, whatever it is. But rarely do we take action. Tammy didn't have the means to give Betty $328,000 out of her own wallet, but she enlisted her network of TikTok followers, the TikTok Creator Rewards Program, and everything she could to just amass this money for this very hardworking woman who has spent her whole life serving others. And what a blessing for Tammy to be able to serve Betty and give Betty the option of retiring after working so hard her whole life. $900 a month on Social Security is what she was making. And now she has this beautiful gift of over $300,000.
Well, and a good financial advisor could maybe figure out a good way to put that to work and plan out your retirement then at that point as
right.
Well. Yeah, because you can imagine if all that money that was paid into Social Security, if a private investment, I wonder how much more she would have had in her nest egg. But that's another topic altogether. No, that point you make, though, about prayer and about action, I think that leads into a topic I wanted to bring up with you as well. Vice President J.D. Vance, you know, prayer kind of came under attack, not kind of, prayer came under attack yesterday in response mm-hmm. to this horrific shooting of these little Catholic school kids in Minnesota earlier this week. And
right.
You know, Vice President J.D. Vance said, look, nobody is suggesting that prayer is a replacement for action. But for some people, all they can do is pray. But other people have the ability to act. And who knows how many people were praying for that 81-year-old waitress. And then here comes some random social media, you know, influencer who then takes some action and then answers those prayers, right? So a combination of prayer and action. I thought that was interesting. You shared something on your Facebook page last night that I think also kind of ties in with this idea of the power of prayer as well. Another 30 seconds to go here before our next news update, then we can talk more after that. But share with us what you shared on Facebook last night.
Yeah, basically, Aaron, it's just under the premise of not every day is good, but there's good in every day. And before you go to sleep tonight, even if you've had a frustrating day, think of all the good things that happened. Think of all the little things that made you smile and let that power you through. Because even though, again, not every day is good, but there is good in every day. And I think if you just look for the good in each moment, in each day, even if it's minute by minute, you're going to find that. And that will help sustain you through those tough times. And so we can talk more about that after the break if you want. But I just think it's really important sometimes to refocus and recenter and think, okay, today wasn't great, but this part of the day was really great. It made me smile, it made me feel good, and it got me through. And I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, great point. All right, hold that thought. More to follow with Becky Hillier. Yeah, we'll get her take on the power of prayer, especially after prayer was under attack. That'll be coming up right after this.
The Brett Baer Minute.
President Trump continuing his anti-crime campaign as he held a cabinet meeting in Washington, calling the nation's capital America's safest city and vowing to bring the same approach to other crime-ridden cities across the country, insisting crime is an issue Democrats cannot afford to ignore. Democratic strategist, radio host Leslie Marshall, you're seeing different Democrats react differently. How do you think it plays politically?
I don't think in the long run, Brett, that politically it is going to be good for the president, for the Republican Party. And this is why. At first, it looks good, but it's really not sustainable. You know, you have this going on in one city, and then you have the voters, whether they're Democrats, Republicans, independents, undecided, after the headline, they start to actually read the fine print. 53 cities, majority in red states, have higher crime rate than D.C., Memphis, St. Louis, New Orleans, Little Rock, Virginia Beach.
I'm Brett Baer. We'll see you next time.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
The more you listen to your kids, the closer you'll be. So we asked kids, what do you want your parents to hear?
I feel sometimes that I'm not listened to. I would just want you to listen to me more often and evaluate situations with me and lead me towards success.
Listening is a form of love. Find resources to help you support your kids and their emotional well-being at soundedouttogether.org. That's soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Pivotal.
Fox in the Fast Lane.
Ryan Blaney wrapped up NASCAR's regular season with a thrilling victory at Daytona International Speedway.
Ryan Blaney ahead of Custa, coming to the line. Ryan Blaney's going to do it.
That was courtesy of NBC as Blaney crossed the finish line 0.031 seconds ahead of runner-up Daniel Suarez at the Coke Zero Sugar 400. Justin Haley, Cole Custer, and Eric Jones rounded out the top five. A win by any of the three drivers would have eliminated Alex Bowman from the playoffs. Instead, the driver of the number 48 Hendrick Motorsports Chevrolet is in the postseason, earning the 16th and final spot on points. Blaney's second win of the season pushed him into second place in the regular season standings and earned him 10 playoff points. The Cup Series now kicks off the 10-race playoffs with the Cookout Southern 500 at Darlington Raceway on Sunday, the first of three races in the round of 16. For Fox in the Fast Lane, I'm Joe Morgan, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
We could see a return of La Nina weather patterns once again later this year. The National Weather Service has issued a La Nina watch, giving about a 60% chance it develops this fall or winter. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey.
If it does occur, it will be the fifth time in the last six winters that we have seen either La Nina or La Nina-like conditions across the central and eastern equatorial Pacific Ocean.
So what are the potential impacts for the countryside if La Nina becomes established?
One of the impacts is to see drought tending to spread, particularly in the western and southern part of the United States. We're still trying to claw our way out of that drought as we move through 2025. We saw a 2.5-year period from late 2020 into early 2023 where we saw more than 40% of the contiguous United States experiencing drought. You get that cool water, it tends to cut off some of the tropical atmospheric moisture from reaching the United States, and that is one of the big reasons we tend to see increases in drought coverage in the western and southern United States during La Nina. Then as we move into the southern United States, concerns there as we move on to the winter months would be impact on rangeland, pastures, feed for cattle, as well as the upcoming winter wheat crop.
Even with all the moisture we've received as of late, a La Nina weather pattern could impact growing conditions for 2026. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I got to play this soundbite here from Mary Catherine Hamm, conservative commentator Mary Catherine Hamm. You know, we talked about this yesterday on the show with David Noble as well, how basically prayer itself came under attack, which when you think about, and this was the point that Mary Catherine Hamm was making here, is that these little Catholic school kids in Minneapolis were killed in part for because of their beliefs, in part because of the fact that they were praying in mass. They were targeted because of their beliefs. They were targeted because of their prayer. These little kids were murdered because of their prayer. And then what it was is the knee-jerk response from some even politicians is to attack prayer. Now, it's one thing to call for action and to call people out and say, look, we can't just have prayers alone. We have to have action. Okay, yeah, I get that, except for then they call for the wrong actions to take place. But that's a political story we can talk about for another time. But, you know, as we look at the bright side here with Becky, I wanted to get your take here just on the power of prayer. And I want to share a soundbite. I played a longer version of this soundbite in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, but this was Mary Catherine Hamm talking about the power of prayer and why she was just, you know, so concerned when she hears this reaction from politicians to attack prayer after a tragedy like we just saw.
I have lived a life that has had its portion very different, but nonetheless of sort of unthinkable tragedy. And prayer did not solve the fact that my husband died while I was 7 months pregnant, but it did not prevent that. But it got me through every single day after that. Mm-hmm. And it helped me to raise my children. And I just think that taking the message to the public that is somehow an insult to people who were killed while practicing their faith is so gross.
Yeah, what a powerful message there from Mary Catherine Hamm. Becky Hillier, your thoughts on that soundbite, and then you've got an incredible story, actually, from growing up as a Catholic school kid in Miles City yourself.
Yeah, well, I think Mary Catherine Hamm is right on about that. Hit it right on the nose. You know, in times when we feel so powerless, we should lean on the power of prayer because, again, what we've talked about so many times is we don't always have the means to support somebody financially during their time of need or in a tragedy. But one thing we can all do as Christ followers is fall on our knees and pray for them. And there is power in that. There's unity in that. There is this beautiful power of sustaining someone through a tragedy by praying for them and just letting them know they're part of a larger community of people, like-minded people who believe in a higher power to guide them through their tough times. And I heard one time that the best places to be are in someone's thoughts or in their prayers. And you see a lot of people post, you know, my thoughts and prayers are with you. And I think sometimes it gets a little diluted because it seems so generic when we post that. But if you really think about that, if somebody is keeping you, truly keeping you in their thoughts and keeping you in their prayers, what an amazing and beautiful place to be. It's like this warm cradle for someone who really needs that support at that time. So saying that prayer is insignificant is really being, it's lost in translation for people who don't get it, I guess. I grew up as a Catholic school kid in Miles City, and there were tough times. You know, I didn't grow up in a rosy family, and we didn't have everything perfect all the time. And I leaned on my faith and my understanding as I learned from the nuns and the priests at school. And that sustained me through those hard times as a kid and got me through some really tough moments in my life. And, you know, when we went to school at Sacred Heart, we were taught that when we heard an emergency siren, like a cop car, an ambulance, whatever it was. So no matter what we were doing throughout the day at school or even at home, because it carried over into home, when we heard those emergency sirens, we stopped what we were doing in school. We did the sign of the cross and we said a little prayer. And that was our way of contributing, praying for the first responders and praying for whatever situation it was that they were going to assist someone. And it was so cool in class when you'd hear those sirens and everybody just automatically, it was that muscle memory, put down your pencil or, you know, put down the kickball in gym class. Everybody would do the sign of the cross and say a little prayer, just a quick little prayer. And what a beautiful habit to instill in young kids as they got older. And I found myself doing that for years after as well in my car. If I pulled over for an emergency vehicle, I would say a quick prayer for first responders and whatever they were responding to. And so you just think of these little ripples, the little waves. So someone says a prayer and that prayer is answered through somebody who can actually make a donation or who can actually donate something or physically lend a shoulder or a hand to someone in need. So it's all part of the bigger picture and it just helps sustain us when we have that faith as a Christ follower that prayer is powerful.
Well, a lot of these people that mock prayer or say, well, or belittle prayer or say, well, thoughts and prayers don't matter. I wonder how many times they've actually tried it. You know, right? Becky Hillier, what an incredible story. All right, hold that thought. We'll be back in 60 seconds after this Fox News update. Here with Becky Hillier on this Freedom Friday, looking at the bright side of things and more. And then, of course, our friend George Blacker joining us in the 8 o'clock hour for Freedom Friday as well. Yeah, Becky, man, you can just see, you can just visualize those school kids in Miles City. And all of a sudden, you know, a distant siren sound is heard and the whole classroom goes quiet. All the pencils go down at the same time. They all turn to prayer. That's powerful, powerful imagery in a Montana specific story. That school's growing in Miles City. I ran into one of their teachers while we were doing an event last year at the Main Street Grind, great little bakery right there on on Main Street, Miles City. A couple more minutes to go here. I don't know if you saw this piece that I posted, but you know, Brian Massard, our friend Brian Massard with Reminisce Angus Ranch, you know, he's been right in the middle of this big Make America Healthy Again MAHA fight. And, and you know, anyway, and so he's been in the middle of everything in the politics of that and concerns about debanking. But his daughter, Ashley Massard, shared a great heartfelt tribute for her dad. There's a cool photo of her. They must have been at a wedding or something, as her dad's holding her in his arms, dancing with her. But she gave a great tribute to her dad and, you know, talking about how her dad taught her to play poker using Swedish fish, tribute to him as a rancher. And there was a funny line where she says, well, most kids grew up on bedtime stories and Dr. Seuss. My dad, Brian Massard, taught me how to read AI catalogs and understand EPDs. I just got a kick out of it.
Well, that is a Montana upbringing, isn't it? I mean, you talk about being in the heart of Montana and learning Montana-specific things, and agriculture is king here. So that's a great story. I love it.
Yeah. What else do you want to share? We got about a minute or so to go here. What else do you want to share on this Freedom Friday?
Well, I think it's you know, we're heading into the Labor Day weekend, and we use this to kind of reward ourselves for laboring so hard all year long. And don't forget those who labor on Labor Day as well, our first responders, or even waitresses, you know, like that sweet little waitress, Betty, who, you know, $328,000 was raised for. Erin, I know you were raised by a very hardworking single mom. I was raised by a very hardworking single mom as well. There are a lot of Bettys out there. There are a lot of, you know, people out there who are just struggling every day to get food on the table and make ends meet. And, you know, to me, those are the real heroes of Labor Day, those who do what needs to be done to feed their family, to provide for their family, and teach those great lessons of hard work and being self-sustaining and independent, especially in a state like Montana. So what a beautiful gift that
great
is.
Point. And they don't get those holidays off. They don't get those holidays off. Yeah, I remember my mom, she'd make it for the WIST tournament, but she'd be a little bit late. But she'd oftentimes miss dinner because she was out there working hard. So many holidays. Becky Hillier, great message, great point. Enjoy your time off. Hopefully Mitch gets a little bit of time off as well. Great to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us here every Freedom Friday. All right, very interesting medical story we're going to talk about after this. Why are there so many more heart attacks now? Cough, cough, COVID.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Can I touch this? Where does sand come from? Is this tree good for climbing? What happens if I mix these two things together? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Storing your guns securely is the best way to prevent family fire, including unintentional shootings. For more information on safe gun storage and ways to keep your family safe, visit endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org.
What do we keep in the attic? What's this thing called? Can I ride my bike backwards?
Like I said, kids are curious. It's up to us to keep them safe. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Montana Talks with Erin Flint.
So this story definitely caught my eye here earlier this morning. As you guys know, we are your Fox News Radio affiliate here on your local radio station. And so as a result, we get some interview opportunities thanks to our friends at Fox News Radio, not only with the Fox News correspondents, but also with other special guests that they might have in their booking inventory, you know, guests that they would feature on TV or on the radio, and then they'll offer up those guests to us from time to time as well. But this was the headline: doctors sound alarm over massive spike in Americans suddenly dropping dead from unexplained heart attacks. Anyway, I saw the headline, and immediately when I saw the headline, I was like, oh, we got to talk about this on the show, because I know what all of you are thinking, and I'm thinking the exact same thing here. What's causing the sharp rise in heart attacks? But the other reason why this story caught my eye is because I started reading the report here from Fox News Radio. Apparently, they were quoting researchers at Mass General Brigham, a Harvard-affiliated hospital that had done a report here. And then they also quoted Dr. Jason Wasfi, study author and director of outcomes research at Massachusetts General Hospital. And I thought, wait a minute, that's a friend of mine, Dr. Jason Wasfi. I worked on Capitol Hill with him back when he was just a young intern in the day. So I was like, wow, that's very interesting. I got to reach out to Jason as well, to see how he's doing and then to get more of his take on this report. But we've got joining us right now on the program, thanks to our friends at Fox News Radio, Dr. Fahmy Farah joining us out of Dallas, Texas. Doctor, great to have you on the show. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, so what stood out with this report to you?
Well, it is alarming that there has been a 17% increase in heart attack across the board, especially in young folks. That is something we're seeing post-pandemic. So I think that's pretty concerning.
Yeah, so basically they're saying that heart-related deaths have gone up to 17% in the years following the COVID pandemic. What are the factors that are at play here, at least according to this report, right?
Yes. I think there are multiple factors that are contributing to this data. One of the biggest would probably be the pandemic, COVID virus itself. It's known to cause damage to cardiovascular system, and I do think it's playing a role in that increased number of heart attack and heart disease. But other than that, lifestyle also plays a huge role. We know that during pandemic, a lot of people started staying at home, working from home, not going to the gym. So I think people got used to more of a sedentary lifestyle. And then heart healthy diet, all of that, substance abuse. So a couple of things contributing here.
Yeah, well, the knee-jerk reaction that I think most of us here in Montana would have is, look, is the role of the COVID shot and the so-called COVID vaccine, and what role did that play? Because we know that early on there were significant warnings about, damage to the heart, especially for younger populations that were not susceptible to, that we're not as at risk from the coronavirus itself, and yet some of them were being forced to take this shot. Many of them were being highly propagandized to take this shot, even though the coronavirus itself was not a risk to them. And so it's like, why would you jeopardize your heart? Why would you risk your heart when the coronavirus is not necessarily a risk to you? And so I wonder if that was analyzed in this report and fairly analyzed in this report. What's your thoughts?
Well, going back to specifically the vaccine itself, we knew during COVID that there were some reports of people getting affected by the vaccine, such as a condition called myocarditis, which is inflammation of the heart that was related to the vaccine. But the number of people that got affected by that, it was still pretty small compared to the number of people that were affected by that same condition, myocarditis, from the virus itself. So head-to-head comparison, I still believe, and this is strictly based on the data we have available, is that the vaccine has still helped more people than not, and the virus itself is still more damaging than the vaccine. So I do believe that this data is, I'm not sure that they had done a head-to-head comparison between whether this is a result of the vaccine versus the virus. But judging by what we've seen so far, I'd have to say that the virus played a bigger role in contributing to this data.
Interesting. So it could be part virus, part the shot. But then I think we can all agree, though, lifestyle factors. Yeah, a lot of people started, they were shutting themselves indoors, eating and drinking more, and diet and lifestyle have just been a huge factor here in this country for a long time. And then it was put on steroids during COVID-19 for so many. The other thing that stood out to me that I thought was interesting was apparently marijuana, smoking marijuana or consuming edibles may raise the risk here as well. You know, the marijuana industry today is not the marijuana of 20, 30, 40 years ago. Sometimes, especially the synthetics, are highly potent, 20 times more potent than what the marijuana was 20 or so years ago. So what angle is that having, you know, marijuana and edibles having when it comes to heart risk as well?
So the recent studies do show that marijuana is not good for the heart, and it can cause damage to the cardiovascular system. So yes, I do believe that's contributing a lot of it, like, you know, to due to substance abuse. And, you know, marijuana is widely used now by pretty much all population, like I'm talking about in terms of age spectrum, young population, even our older folks are using marijuana. So I do think that has some contributing factors.
Yeah, interesting. So it's almost kind of like this perfect storm, right? And no matter which way you look at it, lifestyle factors, diet factors, and I don't know. Do the edible? You know, the old joke was always like, you know, the marijuana smokers also got the munchies, and then would want to eat more. Is it the same with the edibles? So would that only fuel then the lifestyle risks? So now you have kind of a 1-2 punch to the heart potentially.
Potentially, yes. I, you know, it's you're right. People who are smoking, they do have, usually they have a pretty unhealthy lifestyle just because, as mentioned, like one of the side effects of the drug itself is that it increases your appetite. So, and they're not necessarily always choosing the healthiest route to eat.
All right. Well, Dr. Fahmy Farah, great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for taking your time with us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you on the program. 406-294-0970 is the number for you, or you can also message us on the Montana Talks app as well if you want to jump in on the conversation. Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I think we were spotting this very early on that, like, oh, wow, all of a sudden a lot of the people that were being forced to get this jab, a lot of the people that got the jab, man, why were we all of a sudden starting to see all these heart issues? And it seems to me like this is the Harvard-affiliated medical industry trying to put a lot of spin on this, trying to explain away the fact that we saw a massive increase in heart issues after so much of the industry and the CDC and the others were you know, in many cases, forcing this jab upon people. Now they could say, well, look, you know, it's because people got the virus itself. It's the virus that harmed the heart, even though there were early on warning signs that the jab itself was harming the heart. That's why it was so stupid they were forcing young, in-shape soldiers to get this stupid shot when it risked giving them heart problems like myocarditis. We were talking about that on shows like this in 2020, in 2021, and yet they kept forcing the jab into the arms of our troops. And now they're saying, oh, God, why is there such a big spike in heart attacks? Why is there all these heart problems? Why are all these young people especially having heart problems? Well, it's just because of the coronavirus. But then some of the same people that said, hey, if you get the shot, you won't get the virus. Okay, so even if it was the virus itself that caused the heart problems and not the shot that caused all the increase in the heart problems, well, okay, well then, why did you lie to us and say that if you get the shot, you won't get the virus? You know, I think there was even Joe Biden himself on TV making that claim. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I think this is another one of those stories where your initial reaction is likely the best reaction to this story. When you see the headline, doctors sound alarm over a massive spike in Americans suddenly dropping dead from unexplained heart attacks, when your initial reaction is, how much of it was the jab? I think your initial reaction is the best reaction. You tell me. 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. Back right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary, not available in all states or situations.
Fox News commentary.
Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson was asked if he'd accept federal funding for this, and he would not answer. I'm Tommy Lahren. Find out next.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
When has a city or state leader ever passed up the opportunity to get federal dollars? Well, it seems to be what Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson would do if the Trump administration offered federal funding to hire more police officers. When asked by MSNBC's Morning Joe host of all people, Mayor Johnson refused to answer the question, even when it was asked several times. Instead, he said his city needs affordable housing to improve safety, which makes little sense. Whether he's willing to admit Chicago is a killing field, as President Trump insists, or whether he'd be open to National Guard help is one thing, but to potentially decline federal dollars to hire and retain more police officers for his city, that's something else. It's almost as if he doesn't care how dangerous and violent his city is. It's almost as if he is the worst mayor in America. Chicago certainly deserves so much better. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With considerable cloudiness and some partial sun around the area today. We'll also see some scattered showers and a few storms around the region. High temperature readings ranging from the mid to upper 70s. For tonight, still a few showers and thundershowers possible. Lows near 50 in Bozeman to about 60 in Billings. Isolated shower storm chance Saturday with high temperatures staying near 80. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Foreign truck drivers who can't speak English operating big rigs on our Montana roads and interstates. How big of a problem is it here in Montana? We caught up with Eric Belford, the division administrator for Motor Carrier Services here in Montana. If you missed it, check out the full audio, MontanaTalks.com. Plus, check out how many drivers they've already placed out of service in just the last 2 months alone.
Give us a call at 406-651-8109 or come see us at 547 South 20th Street West.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we got a message from Buck in Bozeman here. We were talking with the doctor from Dallas, thanks to our friends at Fox News Radio. Anyway, Buck in Bozeman says this, the China virus vaccine causes heart failure. That's what Buck in Bozeman had to say about this report about a massive spike in heart attacks and other heart problems since the whole coronavirus scamdemic. Yeah, look, here's the other thing is it's like no matter, you know, what you think caused this spike in all these heart problems, whether it was the virus itself or the jab that we knew caused heart problems from day one. We knew those were the side effects. At the same time, they would try to censor people for talking about known actual side effects, just like they censored the Hunter Biden laptop story, right? And, you know, and anyway, it's just like, so either way, again, why aren't these people pissed off at the communist Chinese? Instead, they just continue to pander to the communist Chinese. But, you know, I was thinking about this story a little bit more during the break. And, you know, you think about how sad it is to be one of these angry leftists. I mean, think about it. Some of them are still wearing their masks, probably still social distancing, unless they're at their pro-Hamas terrorist parade. No more social distancing there. They've got mental health. They're angry all the time, which isn't good for your heart or your health either. They're definitely doing the edibles or smoking the marijuana. They definitely got the munchies because they've been told by their fellow leftists that if you exercise, that's for conservatives. That's right-wing extremism if you go to the gym and you exercise. And if you diet and you eat healthy, that's right-wing extremism too. That's white supremacy. I mean, you think about it, it's like liberals following their own liberal orthodoxy these days is literally the perfect storm for killing themselves. I mean, if we just heard that even this, what I think is spin coming from the medical industry about all the heart problems. Either way, okay, well, let's look at what we can agree on. Okay, apparently marijuana and edibles and the potency that it's at today causes heart problems. And then if you get the munchies and you have a bad lifestyle and you're eating too much and drinking too much, boom, heart problems. And then if you got mental health issues because you're angry at everybody all the time because you hate America and you hate white people, even though you're white, another problem there. And then you're wearing that stupid mask. And then you got all the boosters. Oh, my goodness. What a perfect storm. Man. Whew. That's why I'm glad we look at the bright side of things here, you know, on this show. All right. Let's see. Hey, earlier I was mentioning as part of our look at the bright side stories, you know, this great tribute to a Montana rancher that we've got on our Montana Talks website. And, of course, we were talking about our friend Brian Massard with Reminisce Angus Ranch. I'll tell you what, if you guys haven't tried his steaks, if you haven't tried their beef bacon or their beef jerky, you know, you can find the beef jerky at several town pump locations across the state. I think some of the town and country locations, grocery stores as well. Or just go right to their website, remangus.com, and you can get a hold of them and get the products shipped right to your house. Then they come in, boom, you put them right in the fridge or heck, just right on the freaking grill, right? Good stuff. Yeah, I've done that same thing. Had the product shipped to my house and thrown it on the grill and cooked up some beef bacon for breakfast. And, you know, that protein, as we've heard from our friend Dr. Williams, that's really the key to health is good, fresh protein like some Montana beef. All right, we got George Blackard coming up for Freedom Friday in the 8 o'clock hour of this show. Casey Crosby, the Republican National Committee co-chair, kicking off the 9 o'clock hour of the show. And then Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter talking school safety and much more. He's going to be with us for the rest of the 9 o'clock hour. We're taking your phone calls throughout if you want to jump in on the conversation. 406-294-0970. You can also message us on the Montana Talks app. In fact, I had a great one that came in yesterday from Kalispell. I'm going to save that one for the 9 o'clock hour.
You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
Sometimes kids play with pretend guns. It's up to us to make sure they don't play with real ones. Keep yours stored locked and unloaded. Learn more at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nfamily fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Check the back seat. Check the back seat.
I got it.
Check the back seat.
Gets in your head, right? Good. Because every year, dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat of a car by a parent or caregiver. All never thought it could happen to them. But with changes in routines, distractions, or a sleeping child, it can happen to anyone. Parked cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. So get it in your head.
Check the back seat.
A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.